Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. The Chaz and AJ Maritime Chevrolet Stand Up for Vets is happening Friday, July 23rd at Little Pub in Stratford, right on the beautiful Long Island Sound.
Beautiful.
Woo!
You will literally be on a beach watching comedy.
Nice.
That is special.
Yep.
Chuck Nice, Brett Ernst, and more. Also, AJ will be performing on the Arts Television and Appliance stage. What did you say?
I'm more.
proceeds to go help our military heroes.
Yes.
They get vans for veterans who can't get around on their own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. But gives them their freedom back, the mobility back. It gives them their lives back.
Yeah.
Very, very important to get these vans to these guys.
And Lori runs this operation where every penny goes to. There's no, like, well, you
no
know,
proceeds,
30%
yeah.
goes over here, then yeah. we got all of this for the administration. No.
No, it's all of
nope.
it.
No.
Every damn cent.
Every big donor she works with says, I love her, because you'll go to an event and she'll have plastic, you know, silverware, like... And she's like, yeah, no, I paid for that myself. It doesn't come out of the van.
Yep. So. She's the best. She also comments
there
on
there are
all
two
of...
ways to buy tickets. $10 general admission seats. Bring your own chair. First come, first serve. That's $10.
Right.
Or $150 for a private table that seats six. Now, I have a feeling those are gone. I could be wrong.
Right.
But we put these on the Facebook page Friday, and a lot of comments, a lot of shares, and I don't know. So get on there now. We'd love to see you out there. Thanks to Yingling, Call Before You Dig, Trinity Point Wealth, and Geico.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Go to WPR.com or 959thefox.com now to buy tickets. I believe this will be our first Chaz and AJ event since the pandemic, right?
Yes, I think. Yep, yep.
I mean, we did the car show.
Right, and we did the thing over at Captain's Cove, the kickoff the summer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But this is our
first comedy
event,
show.
Event, comedy show, yes.
Event, where
right.
you buy a ticket. And,
right.
Yeah, so very excited about this.
On the beach, man, it's going to be cool. Little pub.
So,
pork tacos.
I just want to tell you that me and my crew, we rented probably 7 rooms there.
Did you?
Because they have a surfside hotel.
Oh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
So we're staying all night.
Oh, man.
Right on the water.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So whoever's the last person on stage is going to have a hot crowd.
I tried to get the best room there. The best room was taken by a bridal party.
Oh.
Like a groom or, you know, whatever. They're getting ready for their...
Yeah.
I don't think it's their wedding. It's close to their wedding. So.
Right.
And I 100% guarantee that they will be over in my room.
Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be one giant... Because there's a shared balcony.
Yeah,
it's
I'll be face down in the sand.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what.
Just wash up.
Get tickets. It's a great venue, great comedians, and you're not going to find a better cause. Help our military heroes. The Chaz and AJ Maritime Chevrolet Stand Up for Veterans at Little Pub in Stratford, Friday, July 23rd. Doors open at 5. Show starts at 7.
It's exciting.
The great thing is you get there early. You have your dinner right there.
Yep.
Great food, and then boom, you're out on the beach watching comedy to help our military heroes. It's $10 general admission. You bring your own folding chair, first come, first serve, and then $150 for a private table that seats 6.
Awesome.
WPLR.com and 959thefox.com. I'm wondering how close we are to selling out, because there was a lot of activity on this over the weekend on the
right.
Facebook page.
Scuttlebutt.
The governor made an announcement regarding concerts on Friday. We'll get to that in a second. But first, Aiden in Clinton was at the Chaz and AJ Haynes Group car show, classic car show yesterday.
Okay.
I ran into him, and we had a nice little chat, and he had a question for AJ.
Aiden, where are you from, and how old are you?
I am from Clinton, Connecticut, and I'm 8 years old.
Oh, and what's your... He's grown since I last talked to him yesterday.
Really?
I thought he was 7.
Oh.
All right, go ahead.
And what's your favorite car?
Dodge Challenger.
Nice. What color?
Hold on. That's cool.
Dodge Challenger. Mm-hmm.
That's the same car.
Kids got priorities.
Yeah.
Yep. What color?
Lime green.
Oh.
Green.
Sublime green. Okay.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. Where's this going?
Green. You know, AJ has one.
Yeah. I like those because it's just like they're cool, and I like them when they're shiny, definitely.
Oh, well, AJ's is always clean.
Yeah.
Do you want to take AJ's car for a weekend? Borrow it?
If he allows me to, sure.
Well, I'll ask him right now on the air.
Sure, why not? You can buy the car for the weekend.
Wow.
It's insured. He wrecks, I'll get myself a wide body.
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
Just unleash an 8-year-old.
8 years old with 485 horsepower and an M6. Go for it.
That'll be a fun story.
Yep.
Can I borrow it, AJ?
You're not 8 years old. What the hell did I just hear? What
was that? Wow, that had a weird twist. Okay, all right, Aiden. So you heard it. Pick your weekend.
Exactly right.
All right. You heard it. He said it.
We got audio confirmation.
Just show me a valid driver's license you're in.
Okay, there is that.
Part of the deal.
Right. That whole part, yes. Well, you know, it's got to be legal on the road.
He didn't say drive it. He just said borrow it.
Right. Can just park it in the driveway.
Right.
Use it as like a playhouse.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Crayons.
Turn it into a water slide.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Cookies, crumbs.
Right. All that
Have a
stuff.
Movie night.
Right. Movie night.
Use that as a giant tent.
You could. You could do a lot of things. It's very tight in that car, though. Not very comfortable.
Very nice that you said yes.
Yep.
Well, he has a small body, so.
Right.
Aiden, make sure you email me and we'll set up the date.
Exactly.
Oh, that'll be some fun pictures in the background.
It will.
And the car's in the backyard and the kids are all climbing all over it.
Right. Skateboarding off it.
Right. Yeah. I'm keeping the wheels and tires, just so you know, first, though. Mm.
The wheels and tires.
Yeah, so, like your neck and your head doesn't break in a second.
So we toured the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport Friday with the governor.
Yep.
And it was very weird. They asked me to speak. I'm like, well, I don't know why. But okay, of course, it's an honor. They held this press conference after the tour to announce a Rock the Shot promotion where folks can win tickets to various shows if they're vaccinated.
Yep.
And, you know, at the press conference, I said, look, if you're not going to get vaccinated, we know that these tickets aren't going to get you there, but this is for the group of people 18 to like 30 something that thought, you know, my group's not getting that sick, I'll pass on the shot.
Right.
Well, and they got a reason to get the shot.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're like, you know what, I'm going to get around to it, and then the numbers got good, you're like,
now's your chance.
Now you got a reason to do it.
Exactly. Concert tickets.
So here's the lieutenant governor introducing me. And as I walk up, I hand the governor, because I'm thinking if it's called Rock the Shot, you got to have a guitar.
Right.
There,
you got to rock.
So we brought the Chaz and AJ guitar made by Dom Figg.
Helping us to get the message out is the dynamic duo of Chaz and AJ of 99.1 PLR. And I'm going to have them come up together. Come on.
Right. We have a prop for the governor.
Listen to that.
Ooh.
Goes on for a long time.
Yeah, really. Sounds different. What are we giving as a prop, exactly?
Were there fireworks in the distance?
I picked something totally different.
Right. We have a prop for the governor.
Yeah, I'm going to prop the governor up. Yeah, now it sounds dirty. When we said prop, we meant banana.
Yeah. That would be weird.
Yep.
I handed him something strange.
Yep. Well, that's like a rocket-type deal.
What am I doing?
Now he's got a water in one hand, and he's holding the guitar in the other. So he can't, like, if anyone asks him to do one more thing, he's done.
Or throw something towards his face. I can't block it.
Here, Governor, here's a pen.
You got to sign this.
Get it in your mouth.
Have a donut. Have a donut. There were donuts there.
It lands, like, perfectly behind his ear.
Right.
I didn't even think of that. We should have had one more thing.
Right. Water balloon.
Here, hold on. Governor, here, catch my cell phone. Here. Wow, he got it.
Ow. Catch a balloon.
Catch a balloon?
A water balloon.
Yeah.
Right.
Ooh.
How's that cake, Governor? Smooth and creamy, isn't it?
You know, it's funny. After I handed him the guitar, I thought to myself, I hope he doesn't think I gave it to him.
Right.
As a gift.
Right.
That's mine. I own that.
Right.
I'm going
to
need this back now.
You said prop. You didn't say gift.
I know.
That happened to Keith Richards years ago. He was coming out of his limo. This guy had a guitar. He built a replica of one that Keith Richards played. He wanted him to sign it. Keith Richards grabbed the guitar and thought it was a gift and got in his limo and took off.
Somehow that's better.
He just laughed and took off.
This is what I thought, though, as he's standing there, and I could tell he's looking at it like, this is really cool. There's a Chaz and AJ logo burnt into it.
Right. Where's it on the mantle? Yep.
Yeah, I could see he's looking at this thing like, wow, what a nice gift.
Or I can re-gift this.
Friggin' crap.
Or I can re-gift this and give it to a friend. That's really cool.
That's all right. No big deal. It was like 100 hours of work that went into building that. It's no problem.
Dom, can you build another one?
Yeah, exactly.
Dom.
Right. Well, I made a big donation to the toy drive to get that.
Oh, yes.
Yes, you
did. My plan with it is to get a couple of artists to sign it and then sell it again.
Mm. Right.
For the toy drive to make more money off it. And I just thought, wow, it's going to be awkward at the end of this if I'm like pulling it and he's pulling it.
Nah.
Ooh.
Or we could just broke into his house later and got it.
Yeah, I'm sure that'd be easier than fighting him over it. All right.
The governor is having a week he hasn't had since college. Weed on Tuesday, concerts on Friday. So, congratulations, Governor. This is terrific.
That was my favorite opener.
That was good.
That was fantastic.
But it was nice to be asked to speak. On my way there, you know, so let me just go back to Thursday. Thursday, we went out to Maritime Chevrolet and a couple of other places to thank them by bringing food.
Yes.
On my way there to one of these places, I look in the rearview mirror and I see a white nose hair.
Oh.
And you know, when you get one of those, it's very clear there's something in your nose.
Yes.
And it could be mistaken for whatever, but it's just obvious and it's there.
Like a bat in the cave. Yes.
Ooh.
Ooh.
Oh, that's probably what.
Yeah, like a guitar string.
Thursday, I'm like, okay. And it's just at that length where you can see it, but I can't get a good couple fingers on it to
yank it.
To pull it.
Right.
All right, so I'm like, I deal with it. I go to these three car dealerships. I'm talking to people, and I can tell their eyes are looking at me in the eyes, and then they're looking down at that. I'm like, I know what you see.
Right.
Yep.
It's waving to them.
So I go home that day, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way this is going to happen at a gubernatorial or whatever you call it, press conference.
Right.
So I say, well, where's the electric razor?
Oh.
I'm taking out the...
I'm gonna do this myself.
Those nose hairs were like, wow, we haven't seen a cleaning like this since you got married.
Seriously. Your hair smells fresher.
Yeah. So on my way there Friday morning, this guy pops out.
Aha. Son of nose hair.
Somehow he knew he heard
ducked.
The razor coming.
He ducked.
Climbed up.
Right. He had a decoy.
And I'm driving to the press conference with a friggin' nose hair sticking out of my nose.
It's like a baton for a conductor.
I decided right then at that moment, I'm going to keep a pair of small scissors in my car at all times.
Right. Or just grow your fingernails long so you can reach it.
Yeah.
Well, at least one of you thought about your appearance before going.
Right.
Okay.
There were some comments.
Right. Okay, Stunad.
Well, I saw AJ wearing the black T-shirt that looks like, I don't know, it was in his back pocket. I thought that wasn't a great idea for a press conference of this caliper.
I love the sunglasses on his head, like as everybody's behind the podium, we're taking this important picture, and AJ's just like, sup?
Sup? You know what I loved? The fact, sup? I love the fact you weren't there.
That was weird when you see, like, people are either in suits or, you know, sports jackets or
they just
nice
got his
shirts.
Sneakers.
And what's wearing sneakers, wearing shoes, jackass? Those are leather Italian. Don't relax there, pal.
But you, You definitely didn't look like you were going to a press conference.
Right, because no one told me it was a press conference. All I was told was we're going to go tour the facility with the governor. No one told me there was a press conference until I found out that morning there was a press conference. This is why I dressed for a tour, not a press conference. No one told me anything, as usual. Okay. And then I look like a dork. And everyone's like, I can't believe he's got his sunglasses on his head and he's wearing that black shirt and he's wearing those sneaker Italian shoes. Yeah.
Did the glasses have to be on your head?
Where was I going to put them? In my ass?
And then, ooh.
Yeah, a little harder to clean when they're in your ass. Exactly. Me pulling them back out again. Here we go. Yeah, no one tells me jack around here, and then I look stupid.
You
never think I'm an idiot.
You put your sunglasses in your car or in your front pocket on your head.
I saw Jimmy.
Oh my God!
He gave me a hug. I got
the
all
malt shot.
I saw Jimmy. He gave me a hug. I got all flustered, and I stuck them on my head. I went to look at Jimmy pulled up a really nice Porsche. I went to look at the Porsche, and I had my sunglasses still on. I forgot to leave them in the car because I'm like, oh, Porsche. And walked over. Yeah, I am with cars. I see a cool car, and I go running over.
Glasses in a front pocket, a back pocket.
In the front pocket. What if I sat down and something broke?
Someone to hold
them. And it hurt Mr. Nutsy down below. You know what I'm saying?
Up on my head.
Right.
Yep, the whole time.
You know, was this a press conference or a fashion statement?
It's like, I'm like, is this a scene from Grease?
Hey, I don't.
Hey, Grease Lightning. You're the one that I want.
Next time. Next time. Please stop singing. Next time, I'm going to roll my cigarettes up my sleeve and stuff like that, too.
That's what you looked like.
It's a rock place.
It's an amphitheater.
Yes. It's going to be playing.
Governor,
rock.
United States Senator, Lieutenant Governor, a mayor, doctors, dignitaries, leaders of industry.
And they looked all very uncomfortable, by
the
way.
And probably the most cameras we've ever had in front of us for a good thing.
Except for that lineup that one time. But yeah,
what was that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a slide of 9 different pictures on the 99.1 PLR Instagram page, and they cropped AJ out of a couple of them.
Good. Good.
You can see they're just like,
go ahead. I don't care.
Yeah.
Again, let me know when things are going on, what exactly is going on, and then I will dress appropriately.
I did tell you. Whoa. I told you.
I was told tour.
I told you. That's a weird shirt for a press conference.
That was a nice shirt I had.
I was like, why is there a loop on the back, right in the center of your back? Is there a loop? Is that to hang you somewhere?
That's in case I pass out, you can pick me up.
What is that loop for? Why did they do that?
To attach the leash in public. Yes, so it doesn't run away. Ooh, Porsche!
The one I'm going to use to strangle you in a second.
No, but why is you know there's a loop on the
I know.
Back of
I don't
shirt.
Know. It's part of the design of the shirt. I don't know. Maybe in case I pass out, you pick me up.
When's the last time the governor was at a press conference with someone with a loop on the back of their shirt?
Like a handle.
Trust
like
me.
A little
trust me. My hair distracted him more than anything.
Yeah.
So.
And then your sunglasses.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I was looking like Rock.
Looking like Guy Fieri.
Well.
I should have waited outside the car. I wasn't supposed to be part. They called me over. I didn't know it was going to be a press conference. I'm standing off to the side, and I see Bicewith going,
Why wouldn't you, knowing that you're going to be near the governor, think, I'm going to wear a nice shirt today?
I don't know. For some reason, I was picturing it was my nice shirt.
This guy goes from having his best day to being on the ground tased by police in under 3 minutes. We pick it up from inside the deputy's car. He's just sitting there on the side of the road, and he sees a guy on a tractor just cruising along with a beer in his hand.
Oh, man, not this guy.
I need to go out to the hospital. Stick with this tear.
4800 dispatch, call with a white male, old Munson Road, riding a lawnmower. Looks like appears to be signal 98.
Interesting siren.
Yeah.
Right?
There are different codes. You know, there's, get out of my way. It's an emergency.
Right,
there's a
code.
Beep, beep. Wah, wah.
Does the guy have a code?
And then there's this one, which is weird. This is the drunk guy on a tractor pullover one. Yeah.
Riding along.
Right.
Yeah, like potential crazy person.
Right.
Riding along.
Like, cuckoo, cuckoo.
Right. Yeah. You most likely imitated code,
old
yes.
Old Munson Road. riding a lawnmower. Looks like.
That's fantastic. Surprised that doesn't play when I walk into the room.
That is expert siren usage.
Yeah.
You sure it doesn't?
Yeah, he definitely has this for the right person.
Yep.
Yeah.
Riding a lawnmower. Looks like PSB signal 98.
Pull it over, Steve. Stop the lawnmower.
He knows the guy's name.
Yep, Steve. First name basis, right?
Yep.
That's probably his landscaper.
Right away.
Yeah.
Pull it. 98.
Pull it over, Steve. Stop the lawnmower.
That just one.
Ooh. Fly, too.
Out of town and over the hill.
Hey. Hey, man, turn the lawnmower off.
He's complying. That's good. Pulled
that's
over.
Good.
Right?
Yep.
Right.
Turn the lawnmower off. Very good. Things are going very good.
So far, so good.
Okay.
Keep in mind, just about 40 seconds ago, he's driving down the road, not a care in the world.
Nope.
Cold beer in his hand on his tractor.
Eagle's tuning his head.
Yep. He's living his best life.
Come on, man.
Steve. Right. How many times I got to tell you, you can't be driving down the road drinking on a lawnmower.
Who was drinking?
I'm just going down to the oyster shack, man. Come on.
Oyster shack.
Put your cigarette out, man.
And smoking
Oh,
too.
He had a cigarette, nice. A beer on his tractor, going for oysters.
Having a date.
Right.
That's a nice afternoon.
Yeah. Lunch date, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Put
your cigarette out. Step off.
God dang it, man.
Your tow truck just passed the cruise zone.
He probably should have put that cigarette out 20 years ago.
Yeah, maybe give it up. Yeah.
Pour your whiskey out.
Pour your whiskey out. Whiskey too. Wow. The rolling bartender.
Yeah, I know.
They know him so well.
Right.
Yep. Where is it?
Where your whiskey at?
Pour your whiskey out.
I just got this.
Pour it out.
Oh.
The day is really going downhill fast.
Oh, yeah.
I'm putting my cigarette out. I got to dump my whiskey out.
Next is oyster money.
I was just going to get some oysters. Whoop, whoop, whoop.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
I'm just going down to the oyster shack, man.
Pour it out now.
You know what, man? I'm not doing anything wrong. I know my rights. No, what? I'm not going to jail today.
Hold on a second.
Oh, yes, you are.
I could tell you that when you tell a police officer you're not going to jail today, 99%, maybe 100% of the time, you are.
He will prove you wrong. I will prove you wrong right now.
Not going to jail today.
Oh, yes, you are.
And then you do cut right to, he's behind bars.
That happened fast, didn't it?
Surprise.
Right. Yep.
No, I'm not going to jail today. I'm not down.
Put your hand behind your back.
No.
Put your hand. Steve.
I'm not doing anything wrong.
You're fixing to get lit up, Steve. Steve, you're fixing to get tased.
Steve made, within like 15, 20 seconds, he made a lot of bad decisions.
I cannot believe a Loma race drive that fast. Mine takes a while. It's hot.
Well, this was warmed up.
Yeah.
Steve.
Man. So he was doing good. He pulled over. He turned the mower off. He got off the mower. He put his cigarette out.
Right.
He dumped the whiskey.
Right.
That was it. That was where he was like, man.
Now I'm mad.
Come on!
I'm dumping the whiskey. There's no reason for this.
Steve, you're fixing to get tased. I'm serious, Steve. Come on, man. Come on, bro. Come on.
I'm not going to.
Mower's off.
Hands behind your butt.
I think I crapped my pants.
No!
In that case,
this day just got really bad!
You're riding in the trunk now.
What's great is he's not sure. He thinks he did.
Right. Yeah, you know you don't. Is there a lump back
there's
there
something warm in my pants.
Right.
Yeah. And I don't know what it is. Right. Can you check?
Right, what'd you have last
could
night?
Could be chewing tobacco.
All right, could be more oysters.
I think I crapped my pants.
All right.
Well,
there's always that.
Poor Steve.
Oh,
Steve.
Steve's kind of bad.
Steve kind of asked for this.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, can we hear that initial scream?
Come on.
I'm not going
to. He was about to say, I'm not getting off the tractor.
Right. Yeah.
That's,
yeah. Right.
I'm not getting. Right.
Come on.
I'm not getting.
I'm not getting.
Oh.
I've heard that many times before.
God damn it!
That's into my head every time Phil talks.
God damn it! God damn it!
Phil brings something up on Instagram.
Sounds like a South Park character.
God damn it! They killed Kenny! Right.
Did he find that picture on Instagram?
God damn it!
He did.
Yeah, let's go back to the initial scream.
Come on!
I'm not gonna...
So he turned it off, though, yeah. While he's getting zapped.
Yeah.
Well, the officer kind of climbs over it, so he,
maybe he turns
tases off. Him, and yeah. He falls off the other side, like, towards the brush instead of into the road.
Right.
So he's like, well, I got to follow him now.
Right.
So I think, yeah, he went up and hit the button.
Right.
Automatic shutoff.
For their safety, yes.
Yeah, I don't want him to get run over.
No.
Wow. That would be a whole other deal. Imagine if he fell and then the mower went over him.
Oh, oh man. Right.
That's like, now you're talking worst day.
That's problem.
That's a hell of a haircut, Steve.
Come on.
I'm not going. God damn it.
I want that as a ringtone, the God damn it.
God damn it.
That sounds like something that you would hear in a Smokey and the Bandit movie.
Right.
Or,
oh, yeah.
That's primal. He didn't think about that. Yeah. That just came out of him. Yeah, that was organic.
That's the first one.
That's
the
good
one. God damn it. Yep.
Yeah.
The bandit got away from us again.
God. Damn it.
Yeah, it's like 60,000 volts behind that.
God damn it!
You smashed a police car!
God damn it!
Hey, your underwears are dead.
God damn it!
Wow. And what's funny is this is literally probably 90 seconds from the point we saw him having the best day, driving down the road in his tractor. Having a beer.
Cigarette.
Some whiskey.
Cigarette, whiskeys, and heading to get some oysters. Yep. Like, this is the dream.
Right.
That's all it took, 90 seconds.
Yeah, it was really that fast. Yeah. This is the flip side to a Jimmy Buffett record.
That's what happens if you play it backwards.
Yeah.
That's the flip side.
Yeah.
Right. Get my ass taste.
Oh, God!
Hands behind your butt.
I think I crapped my pants. God, don't do that again.
I've heard that before, too.
Was he talking to his butthole? Or?
Oh, yes. Right.
Jim Quill is a professional engineer at the Quill Group in Bridgeport. What do you think about this?
Yeah, hi. Thanks for having me on this morning.
Thanks for coming on.
It is definitely a catastrophe. It reminds me of, I think it was 1986 when the L'Ambiance Plaza right in Bridgeport collapsed on the
I remember that.
20-some-odd workers.
That was instantly when the story broke, we were comparing it to that.
Yep.
Way different, but and we'll get back to that thing, but they're not similar, right?
Not at all. That was a construction error, and the causes of that were very obvious right at the start. No, this is a building that's been up for 40 years. It was built over a barrier island, obviously in Miami, and there's many places in the world actually that are built over very, very soft materials. And from my understanding, what they use to support the foundations is they use auger cast piles, because that was my first thought that I had on the issue. Did they use steel piles that were actually deteriorated by the salt? But apparently, the construction of those buildings is auger cast piles that are drilled into soft limestone. An auger cast pile is a pile that's driven, it's drilled into the limestone. And filled with concrete and reinforcing steel, and yes, I guess over time they could corrode. But the more I've looked into this, it looks to me like it's just been a continuous deterioration of the concrete and the reinforcing steel within the building, which we see many times. We are called, we get called into numerous inspections ourselves, and we see a lot of concrete that has spalled away, and you know, the rebar is showing. And I guess the more, you know, the more.
And there's a number of that with this building.
Yeah.
They've been asked to go and inspect it a number of times because chunks of cement just have come off and exposing the rebar.
Yeah.
So that was happening. We had that thing that happened here with the foundations. The cement wasn't poured correctly.
Right. Or mixed correctly.
That was
correctly,
a material that was mixed in with the foundations. It actually caused it was called pyrite. It caused the concrete to deteriorate. That was another question I had too. Maybe back in back 40 years ago, if they had actually used salt water to mix in the concrete, that would eventually cause a much faster deterioration of both the concrete and the reinforcing steel. However, I don't have any proof of that.
You'd
have
to run a petrographic analysis. Yes, now I know it's going to take a long time for them to test and figure it out and go through it all. But what would your top one or two or three guesses be? What caused this?
I'm going to say the deterioration of the concrete, and it was obviously toward the middle of the in the interior of the building. A lot of the reports.
But if that's true, that means every 40-year-old building around there just has to come down.
Either that or repaired. You know, have a that's why they have an inspection process. Right. But it should be more than every 40 years. That's for sure. The deterioration, because deterioration is going to occur. It's some measure. Apparently, this building is gone through a deterioration a lot faster than some of the others. Yeah, you could expect the same problem to occur all along. All along that area down there.
There was a study in 2019 that the university did on that building, and it showed that it was sinking into the ground.
Yeah, that was sinking. It said about 2 millimeters a year, and that's going to be, it's going to be about 3/4 of an inch over 10 years. We get a lot of, we even get houses that can settle that much, and it doesn't affect it all that much. I'm thinking that study could have been on the exterior of the building. Do we know what the columns were on the inside of the building? Maybe in the exterior was going 2 millimeters a year, but on the inside, maybe one or two was going, a lot more than that.
But if the whole building's sinking like that, fine. But if it's just that one wing that's sinking and it cracks off of the rest of the building, like a half an inch, it would form some pretty big cracks, right, if the rest of the building wasn't going down?
If it kept going, yes. Think about the Leaning Tower of Pisa. That one half of that foundation is on very soft material, and it is moving. It's called differential settlement.
Right.
So you might get one area that's only sinking 1/4 of an inch, while the other area might be sinking, a 1/2 inch a year.
You think that's what happened?
I'm not sure if that's what happened or not, because I like the idea of the auger cast piles into soft limestone. If that's in fact how they constructed the foundation, and that seems to be the method that they utilized back 40 years ago, and I believe they still use it today.
Oh, I was talking to
I'm more thinking that it's a deterioration of the concrete, and we even get this up in the Northeast, especially with the salt and stuff that comes off cars, when they park in garages.
Well, let's talk about this deterioration of concrete. If that's what it is, then all of those buildings have to come down, or at the very least, you have to get those people out of there now, right?
Well, I don't know if I get them out of there now. I just do a deeper investigation and to see if the concrete in the steel is adequate. Because, every one of those buildings is built different, probably with a different contractor, different quality control methods. And, like I said, this you don't know because you weren't there. you know, how, you know, what the concrete mix was, what the concrete testing was. One of our companies that we own here is a concrete testing lab, so we do a lot of concrete testing, and we've actually done some forensic analysis on older concrete. And so you don't know how fast it's deteriorating, and also you don't know how fast the rebar inside, you know, that's inside is rusting away and weakening also. So, you know, further testing would have to be conducted, you know, to determine whether or not, you know, surrounding buildings down there need to be, you know, need to be addressed.
My thought would be, you know, it would be really embarrassing if another building went down with people in it. Let's just get them all out until we figure out what this is all about.
Right, just be safe.
Yeah.
It's a novel idea, a novel approach.
You know, I was one of the tours I went with Howard, who's building the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater in Bridgeport. And, you know, those giant, the tents that are covering, you know, 7,000, you know, 5,000 seats and 2,000 other areas for people. I said, how, he says, there's 1 million pounds of steel holding this tent. I was like, how far did you have to go into the ground?
Right.
He's like, oh, excellent question. We thought it was going to be like 30 feet. It turned out to be like 150 feet to hit bedrock.
Wow. Okay.
It's a long way down.
But that sucker's in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, a lot of that issue, too, is uplift when you get the wind underneath. So that's why they had to use piles, helical piles over there to, in fact, keep the top from blowing away. Say during a hurricane, you're going to have so much force driving up.
Like a patio umbrella.
Okay. Boom. I didn't even think of that. I just thought of the weight on it, 1 million pounds on it. But then you get the wind, you might have it.
Right.
Yeah, that would be.
Not as much on it as there is an uplift over there, because we did some work over there as far as the geotechnical investigations and the pile designs.
It's funny. Do they have this problem in other countries where buildings just crumble?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, there's a history. There's a history, and it happens. And again, it's usually a number of things that go on. Mm. And I will say, though, that usually if you're going to get a failure, you see the failure first. It doesn't just happen. You start seeing, oh, my God, my floor is settled 3 inches. You know, I'm walking downhill when I'm going to the bathroom. You know, you start seeing things like that. It's not usually a sudden just collapse like would have occurred in this particular situation.
Right.
So that's what's questionable. That's why I don't want to be as conservative as some, but you know, you don't want to move everybody out of every condo that's down there, but investigate it and see what kind of slope.
I also would do that rather than wake up dead.
Yeah. Definitely,
I'd volunteer. Actually,
man, what a horrible death! You're in your bed. You know, your home was supposed to be a safe place, and then I'm sure they were woken by the rumble.
Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, yeah.
I don't horrible. Know if the construction next door, the vibrations, apparently they were doing some construction near there.
Oh.
Whether the vibrations were contributing to maybe a further deterioration
or elimination.
Yeah,
didn't
help. The concrete.
Oh, Jim, you know what's going to happen now. Everyone's going to say it was this, it was that, it was this.
Fingers pointing.
Yeah, it'll be years before a report comes out.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure. So
your gut is the concrete mixture with the steel. Would that be your gut right now?
Yeah. Okay. That's my gut. Now you got deterioration down there, and I believe they were trying to address a waterproofing problem with the pool. And apparently there were witnesses that saw the pool cave in or something first.
Whoops.
Yeah, I got to tell you, AJ's first reaction to all this was sinkhole.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
That's a plausibility in the limestone. Now, the limestone is actually formed by coral. And who knows? There could have been a big gap. And all you need is one of those columns or one of those pile caps to fail, and that's going to transfer the load to all of the other columns that are, you know, supporting the building, and they'll all be overstressed, and they'll have a twisting moment that's going to be occurring on them too. So that could cause the catastrophic immediate failure, like we saw. So that's a very good point and a possibility. I'll be honest with you, I'm not that versed on the limestone in that particular area. I know we have limestone up here in Connecticut that's it's relatively soft.
Yeah, but Florida's famous for sinkholes. I mean, every year there's like two or three houses that get swallowed up.
So if, in fact, you had a sinkhole right beneath one of the columns, you know, or right where the piers, I mean, right where the auger cast piers are going into the limestone, you know, maybe there was a gap, you know, that could very well have caused the problem.
Have we had any buildings in Connecticut besides the La Biance Plaza? Have we had any buildings in Connecticut just collapse?
No, just the, you don't remember the failure of the Hartford roof.
They
kind of did.
That was
a roofing problem and a snow load.
That was an amazing thing,
yeah.
This story, because there was supposed to be a concert there that night.
Oh, my God.
Seriously.
And
it
snowed, and they almost went ahead with the concert. And they said, okay, forget it.
Wow.
And they canceled the
show.
Yeah,
I remember when it happened. I don't remember the concert,
though. With people.
That would have been disaster.
No
oh, my
kidding.
God.
Yeah. Wow.
Tragic disaster.
Yeah. So.
That would have been horrible. Horrible.
Well, it's so strange that this happened. You know, you don't... My first reaction was, I wonder if it was a car bomb or something, you know?
Yeah, you think that. The McVeigh thing, the Murrah building, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's exactly how they do it, except it looks like nature took its course on this one here.
Right.
Because all you've got to do is take out one or two of those support columns that are in the center of a building, and the building will collapse. And that's just how it happened. It happened internally, and pretty much you get one floor that fails, and then the force of that coming down just causes the others, you know, the others just to follow along. You get that domino effect.
The Trade Center towers, they had a center spine, right? And it was the fuel, the heat from the fuel of the jet engines that weakened that spine, and that's when they collapsed, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
That had a lot, yep. Yep, that was a major cause.
And that's
on
an
that.
Interesting construction of, with a center spine, right? I think those were the only two buildings we built like that. Most times, it's the four corners.
Well, no, it is oftentimes the center. The center actually gets more load than the exterior columns on buildings. Because most of the load is, you know, most of the load, the floor loads are on the interior. So when you are demolishing a building and you want it to, you want it to fall in a more systematic area, in a more systematic event, you do want to take care of the interior or demolish the interior portions.
Right.
Suppose if you talk to a demolition contractor, they would have a lot to say on this also.
Yeah.
But I really think that, you know, we had a simple case of, and it's not a simple case of deterioration, and we get, of the concrete, we get the same up here with the salt on the cars, that, it, you know, deteriorate slabs, in parking garages and whatnot. So.
Yeah, you see that.
I have seen that.
Yep.
I didn't think about it until you just said that.
I'm going to park outside.
Like, oh,
okay,
I've been seeing this. And
yeah, I'll be outside thinking.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll park over in the corner of the garage.
I'll take my Chandler shopping carts.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we worked on a building in New York. I think it was down on Chambers Street. It was a six-story parking garage. The owner had us go in there, and we just told him, it's going to cost you more to fix this than it is going to take it down. So he closed it. Because it was in such horrible repair. All the rebar was, you know, you could just see it. And you can see what, you know, actually some holes in the slab. So it was in pretty tough shape.
All right, we got to roll. Jim, thank you very much. Tiddlywink stuck in woman's nose.
Now we did. Okay. There you go.
Tiddlywink.
For 37 years.
That's a long time to hold on to your tiddly.
Just been marinating up there.
Exactly.
Do you know what a tiddlywink is?
Oh, yeah. That's those little toys. It's supposed to, like, you like kind of like pinch them with another one. You make them, like, hop.
Isn't it a stick?
Can you just explain it so if you never saw one, we'd all picture it?
They're like little round discs. And the whole point was like to make them move forward by taking another tiddlywink and you kind of like press on it.
No, but explain it to me so I could visualize it in my brain.
They're very, very thin plastic pieces. Usually they're like pink or red. I don't know what the purpose was exactly. I just remember I kind of caught the tail end of the tiddlywink trend. those were an old person toy back in the day. But I remember my grandpa had freaking Tiddlywinks, and he'd play with these, and I thought that was stupid. But yeah, the whole point was like you kind of take these little round discs, and then you kind of hit it with another.
Phil, you want to take this over?
What's interesting is if you Google Tiddlywink trend, you don't get any results. So I don't know what that is.
Well, it's before the internet.
No, but there's a cup in the middle.
Yeah.
And you try to, like,
right,
as
make
AJ
it go
said,
into the cup.
It's almost like playing quarters when we were kids. We would play quarters trying to bounce the quarter into
the
cup of beer.
Drink a beer, yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you try to snap the little plastic pieces into the cup using the other plastic piece to like
what
press it against the ground.
Stupid game this is. Stupid
yeah, thing. It is dumb. Even the name is dumb. Tiddlywinks.
When I woke up this morning, I did not know what a tiddlywink was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We didn't think you would.
I haven't seen a tiddlywink in about 15 years.
Easily. Probably more than that. And it's like you had one jammed their nose
why
on time.
Why would they name
time.
It Tiddly?
I don't know. I think it's a British
wink.
Game. I think it's a British
what's
game.
What's the tiddly, and what makes it a wink? What's the wink, and what's the tiddly?
If I see a tiddly, I have a wink. How's that? Okay, I'm alone here.
I'm just trying to...
usually am. Tiddly wink.
All right, so the winks are the smaller discs?
I don't know.
Are the tiddlies the bigger ones?
I think the whole thing is called tiddly wink.
The small discs are called the winks.
Yes.
And then you use a squidger... to shoot them.
Okay,
oh,
I don't recall the squidger
something
part.
From 1872, I don't know what is.
I think they're called
the history of this.
I think they're called tiddlywanks. No, that's what we called them as kids.
No, that was the people who played it. Those were
tiddlywanks.
Right.
Yeah, this has to be from England, right?
That's the southern
tiddly
version.
Tiddlywinks sounds like tiddlywinks.
Right. Yeah, it just sounds British. I say, I'm going to play some tiddlywinks.
Yeah, it does sound
good.
British.
Good, good,
have
good.
You looked up the origins?
He's a tiddlywink master.
Yeah, 1888, it looks like it's was created.
Wow.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, my grandfather's were created like 5 days.
1888 was the first toy after the stick and the rock.
Exactly right.
And tiddlywink.
Yeah.
5 days, five what?
Shut up.
Tiddlywink.
I will tiddlywink you off the friggin' building.
So what do we know about it? Do we know who invented it? What happened?
There is a painting.
Like the Frisbee was a pie pan.
Yeah, originally.
And someone just started throwing it.
Right.
It's like, oh, we got ourselves a Frisbee.
Exactly.
The Slinky was a spring that just fell and went dunk, dunk, dunk. And someone said, you know what? Kids might play with that. Is there any backstory on this Tiddlywink? I'm going to get a bunch of round pieces and we're going to flip them into this cup.
Began as an adult parlor game in Victorian England.
Wow.
Parlor game. Well, place bet on your tiddly. I'm going to introduce the Phil.
Well, this tiddly, it's like the shape of a coin. It's a little piece of plastic.
Right, very thin.
It's not a surprise that kids don't play tiddlywinks today.
No.
It doesn't have a cool name to it.
No, but if it did,
you call it
still
death.
Wouldn't.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Paint them black. Death!
Yeah.
This sentence is ridiculous. So this is 1888. The guy that tried to patent it, put his name on it. However, competition was quite fierce, and for several years, starting in 1888, other game publishers came out with their own versions of the game using other names, including Spoof, Flibberty Flop, Jumpkins, Golfette, Marrow, Flutter, and many others.
No wink, tiddly.
Flibberty Flop.
Flipperty Flop.
Flipperty.
Marrow.
Flipperty Flop.
M-A-R-O.
That's right.
Flip, flip flop. Flipperty Flop. Flipperty Flop. Flop, flop. Hey.
Wow.
That's the theme song.
By the way, this is probably the most dialogue that's been in this game in many years.
It became one of the most popular crazes during the 1890s.
The tiddlywink craze. The
gay 90s.
The
those were the gay 90s, right?
Could be.
Yeah. I think that's what they called them.
As in happy, yes.
Yeah.
Flip, flap, doobba doobba bop, a flooba doobba beep, oh flop. Flip, flap, doobba doobba bop.
So this woman, now back to the original headline, this woman has had a tiddlywink in her nose for 37 years.
Wow. Does she win some kind of prize?
That tiddlywink's been around for a century, though.
Yeah. She should win a prize. Well, she explains what reason why.
Yeah. The toy got stuck up. All right. So if we play this clip, it's everything we need to know?
She explained what happened. Yeah.
All right, her name is Mary McCarthy.
When I was 8 years old, I was playing tiddlywinks outside and I put a tiddlywink in each nostril and then would blow them to see how far they would go. But one time I did it, I accidentally inhaled it. Fast forward 35 years later, had a COVID test. Obviously, it had dislodged the tiddlywink that was inside.
Hold on, I don't understand what she's saying. Does she still have a tiddlywink in her nose?
No, it's out of her nose.
It's now out of her nose. Yeah. A COVID test dislodged it.
Right. Dislodged it.
But for 30 years, this idiot had a piece of plastic up her nose.
Yeah,
when she was 8 years old.
Right. Yeah, so her and her friend would put the tiddlywinks in her nose and try and blast it.
That's kind of fun, yeah. Actually.
That's tiddlywink like to another level, yeah.
Yeah.
Tiddly stink.
Get in the cup.
Well, you played tiddlywink a couple times. You're like, all right, what else are we going to do?
Tiddly butt.
Throw them at each other. Flip them.
We shove them on our butts.
Well, how about this? Up the nose.
Right. Right, the Italian handkerchief.
Yeah, but they didn't do it. They did it. They sucked it in. She sucked it in by design.
By accident.
Yeah, she shot one out, and then the second barrel went. Yeah, and she left it there. Like most folks would go to a doctor immediately.
No, but she thought she swallowed it, right?
The tiddlywink that was inside. They did a CT scan and found that there was something inside my nose.
When we were kids, we used to do bottle caps up our behind. I don't know. Is that weird?
Wow.
Yeah.
But we would shoot
these
things.
How far they'd go?
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, okay. Right. Don't catch them, though. Yeah. Right.
Huh.
Yes.
Yes, that's weird.
Yeah, yes. He called them bottle caps.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.